All right, good morning, everyone. It's December 13th, 12 days until Christmas. So me and the kids were learning the 12 days of Christmas this week. But I want to start this morning with that great declaration again that's on our sign, and that is the great anthem of the people of God through the ages. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. So let's say that together three times together as we start. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Amen. Lord, we welcome your goodness and the revelation of that goodness over our lives again today. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Yes, he is good, and his love endures forever. And as the book title says, God is good. He is better than you think. God is good. He is better than you think. If we can go to the end of our imagination on goodness, the highest goodness that we can imagine, the goodness of God is beyond that. And if we can pull together everything that we think of as good and put it in a group of things that we could possibly put together, of the biggest group of the things that are good, God is more than that. To the end of our imagination, to the end of where our thoughts can take us, God is better than that. And if it's true that one of the most important things about us is what our thoughts are about God, then that truth helps us to understand, and it helps us to understand why God continued to call his people to declare that truth, that he is good, his love endures forever. Now, I don't know if you can imagine the goodness of God in your mind today. What do you see? How much goodness is in God? Not the right answer, but the answer that's true in your perspective. Sometimes that's hard to even know because we're so conditioned to just think the right answer. But if we ask people, how much is the goodness of God, do you think? You know, some people would if we had like a bar graph, you know, just barely get off. Like, there's probably some goodness in God, but I certainly can't figure it out. And some people, if you ask them as the goodness of God, maybe it's like half and half, you know, like, yeah, he's probably pretty good, but there's all this other stuff too. Doesn't seem like he's totally good. Or some people will say, you know, 75-25, mostly good, but not fully. But when we look at Jesus, who is God incarnate, the image of the invisible God, as Paul tells us in Colossians 1, we see that, yes, in fact, it's true. God is better than we think. This baby that we celebrate at Christmas came so the blind could see, the lepers could be cleansed, the dead raised, the lonely put back in families, the abused healed, the addicted set free, the oppressors brought low. Everything that we know that is bad begins to get turned to good, in more amazing and beautiful ways than we could ever imagine. And that is why he came, as we talked about last week, to bring light into every dark place. And so we declare our memory verse that we've been working on again, Isaiah 9:6. Let's say it one more time together. To us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders. And his name be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And I cannot think of a better word to epitomize the goodness of God than that word, Father. Last week we talked about him being a mighty God. The wonder of Jesus is his revelation that that mighty God who breathes out the stars and puts the earth on its foundations, that mighty God is housed in the person of a father. Now, as the reading that Marianne put together and Dave and Sarah read is the image of Father, of course, is imperfect for all of us. I neither had nor am a perfect father. And the impact of parents on the formation of their children is staggering. I was thinking about that this week and amazed that God would entrust such intense formation to such imperfect people. It's really amazing. But he was willing to do that because he knew that it didn't just depend on us. That as long as in our imperfections, we could get them to the perfect Father, we could help encourage them and point them to the perfect Father, he could take it from there. And he could fix whatever we messed up. Whatever we lacked, he could put it back together. So our job is just to keep pointing to this Father. This perfect reality of the imperfect pictures that we get on the earth. But if we're going to be a people that follow Jesus, then we must allow him to teach us, to lead us, to represent for us this amazing heart of the Father. Because it was that understanding that Jesus had as he walked of the goodness that was in the heart of the Father that guided, empowered, and sustained him through everything that he did. And if we're going to walk the life that Jesus sets out for us, then that understanding of the centrality of the heart of the Father must continue to go deeper and deeper into our lives as well. And we could talk years about the heart of the Father and how that impacts everything we are in the world. And we'll never get to the end through all of eternity of understanding the wonder of the heart of God, of the Father's heart of God. It is the defining truth of our lives if we let it. So we can't do a thorough picture of the heart of God. Hopefully we're all continuing to learn about that. But there's just one picture I want to share this morning that has been on my heart as I think about this idea of the everlasting Father. And it comes from Revelation 7:15. We looked at Revelation 7 earlier as we did our worship theme. But Revelation 7:15 says this, "And so they stand before the throne of God and worship him in his temple day and night. And the one who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them." That's the picture I want us to hold in our minds this morning. That's in the Contemporary English Version. I think the NIV says, "He will shelter them with his presence." But this idea of the goodness, the presence, the life of God actually being extended over us so that we are caught up in the life and the goodness, and the celebration of God. God not only makes a way for us to come, he not only calls us to come, and of course we have to say yes to that, but he actually extends his tent over us. Isn't that such a beautiful picture? Extends his tent so that we are inside, not outside. He desires so much that we are part of his family. He desires so much that we can enjoy all the goodness that he is and that pours forth from him. He wants us to know him and grow deeper into his image. He wants us to rejoice with him at his wondrous wisdom and works. And he wants us to crawl up on his lap and just be held by him. God extends his tent over us and invites us right in to his family Christmas dinner. Can you imagine that? I just want to sit with that picture for a little bit. So if it helps you to close your eyes, you can. Or just imagine if you can feel that tent of God's presence being extended over you this morning. That you are there in the tent, in the palace, like we read earlier, in the family room of God. How does that feel? How does it feel to be in the family room of God? Are you excited? Are you scared? Are you amazed? Are you confused? What emotions come up? Does it feel like a familiar place or a foreign place? Does it feel like home? And when you see God on his big throne-like easy chair, this Father who has invited you in, do you run and give him a hug? Kind of look at him, amazed. Does he feel unfamiliar or unsafe? Is it hard to look at him? So, of course, it's not about having the right answer or the right feeling to any of these questions. But it's important to know and reflect on how is our heart and mind moved by the presence of our Father. That intimate word that, as Marianne read, many languages can't even put into words, this intimate invitation that we've received. Even to the Jewish people themselves, it was heresy and blasphemy to think of coming that close to God. Jesus came to show us that we have a Father that is better than we think. And who, yes, is indeed inviting all of us and everyone that we meet to come and be a part of the feast in his house. To know that core truth that, yes, it is true that God is good. The Father is good and his love endures forever. That love gets extended over us, all of us, even the parts we don't think should be there. It's there. And his love is big enough to cover it. And all who say yes to that, who accept and don't run away from that covering love, even those we think shouldn't be there, yes, they too are covered. His love is big enough. And even those situations that we hate, those situations that are inconvenient, as we were talking about this morning in our small group, the situations that we can't imagine ever anything good coming even out of that place, God wants to bring forth something good. Because that's what he does as our Father. And it's hard because of our experience of imperfect parents, teachers, and whatever other authority figures are in our life, even pastors, it's hard to believe that God could be that good. That his goodness is that strong and that perfect. But today and this Christmas, hopefully we remember again this everlasting Father who spreads his tent over us, invites us right into his heart. And this morning, we want to ask God again. Not just so that we can say, yes, God is our Father, but so that in the places of our hearts that are difficult to believe the goodness that he wants to bring, even those places, we believe, yes, God is good. And we can rejoice with the angels and all of creation. The angels that came declaring, hey, there's good news! All they saw was a little baby. They didn't look like much good news. The oppressors are still here. The famines are still present. The injustices. Families are still broken. What is this baby that's good news? But the angels knew. Guys, if you could only see, there's really good news. You see the goodness of God being born into those places where we would never imagine again this year. And even when you can't see it, can we join with the shepherds saying, yeah, this is good news. What did the shepherds do after they left that little manger? They went on their way rejoicing and telling everybody about the good things they had seen and heard. What had they seen and heard? a little baby. Now they saw the angels, which was pretty cool. The only thing they saw at that moment was a little baby, but when they saw that little baby, they knew God is good, and his love endures forever, and the goodness of God was coming. So we want to ask God this morning, Lord, would you show us your goodness? Let's just pray that together. Just say that three times together. Lord, show us your goodness. Let's say that together. Lord, show us your goodness. Lord, show us your goodness. Lord, show us your goodness. What's your sense of God's goodness this morning? Is it just a little bit? Half and half, 75-25, full, unimaginable. And what are the places today where it's difficult to see and experience God's goodness? Lord, show us your goodness. Show us the signs and the seeds of your goodness. And give us faith, like the shepherds, to look at the little baby and say, yes, salvation is at hand. Give us the grace to rejoice in your goodness in the midst of the inconveniences of this season and this year, whatever form they take. Lord, we want to be a people that not only declare that you are good and your love endures forever, but live from that reality. That in every situation we see and expect that the goodness of God is going to come forth. Almost never in ways we can imagine, but always better than we could have imagined. Lord, show us your goodness. Lord, show us your goodness. We just sit and let that goodness flow over us. We're just going to listen to a song, and the words are going to be on the screen. Actually, Chad taught us this song earlier this summer in one of our pavilion meetings. But this is called The Father's House. And so as we think about God extending his tent over us and being invited, included into the very family, the very heart of God, the Father. I just encourage you to let that picture, just continue to sit with that picture. You can sing if it's helpful. You can look at the words if it's helpful. You can just close your eyes and imagine again that you're in that Father's house. And I just encourage you to be aware. What are the things that stir in your heart as you allow yourself to be in the Father's house? And what does God want to speak to you this morning about his goodness and his house and his love for you and for this world in which we live? So let's listen to this together, and then I'll come up and close.
My story isn't over. And the story isn't over if the story isn't good. And failure's never final when the father's in the room. And failure's never final when the father's in the room.
So yes, Lord, we receive your goodness being extended over our lives today. And we ask, God, that in those places of our hearts where we need to hear it the most these days, would you speak again and reveal again your goodness, God. Would you help us as we listen to your word? Would you help us as we listen to your spirit? Not only for our sakes, God, but for the life and the goodness you want to flow through us to others. We need to hear it again, God. Thank you, Lord. May you teach and lead us, form us in the way of your goodness, Father, we pray. Thank you so much for inviting us into your house. Thank you so much, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.